This is a fun segment for me because I haven't seen Ashley in a while. She went through a number of our Pittsburgh youth media programs. I forget where you went to high school.
I went to Ellis.
Okay, and that's right. And now you're at the University of Pittsburgh studying?
English and business.
Excellent combination. Is this your freshman year?
Mm-hmm.
I thought so. How's that transition been?
It's good. I feel like I'm not at Pitt as much as I should be, but I really enjoy the classes and I'm used to the area, so that's helpful. And I feel like, you know, the teachers are really great and they've been really supportive of all the chess stuff. So that's great too.
And are you living at home or?
Yeah, I'm living at home because, so I did live in the dorms for like a week, but then I decided that it was really hard to like have all of my chess things in the dorms because I would always be traveling to classes. So.
Oh, bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I went to Carnegie Mellon while my parents still lived, you know, 8 miles away or so. And while I lived on campus all 4 years, I was going back and forth a lot as well because I had a lot of things to take care of. So you had this idea, what, maybe 3 years ago? How long has it been?
Yeah, so it's since 2014 because I was teaching in 2008. So yeah, 2014, I went through the nonprofit process.
Can you explain sort of how this idea came to you and sort of the steps you decided to take, at least in the initial days?
Yeah, so when I started, I wanted to get chess out in the community. So I wanted to teach chess. I wanted to make sure that every child had the opportunity. Because when I learned how to play, it was really expensive to have a lesson. It would be like $50 for like a half an hour lesson if you wanted to have a private tutor, which is just not sustainable. So I did a lot of free programming. And as I was teaching at a lot of different places, I decided that, you know, we should have this under one umbrella. So I went through the nonprofit process, but the mission really changed when we were talking with students because students were seeing what I always saw with chess, that it can create a lot of educational and social change. So our mission really developed into an organization that wants to keep Pittsburgh sustainable through the strategy and critical thinking of chess.
That's a great idea. And chess does require you to think. What I always loved about chess is you could think multiple moves ahead. If I do this, then this is going to happen, then that. And there's really a lot of dimensions to it because you also have to think of what your partner might do that you're playing. You know, what will your opponent do and how would you respond to that? And that's really the secret to getting good at chess. But just knowing the constraints that apply to different pieces in terms of how they can move and what you can do with them, I think it's also fun too.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most challenging things is when you're first learning how to play, you realize that, wow, a lot of pieces can be really restricted, but they can also do a lot. So you really have to learn about your opponent. You have to get to know them, which I love. There's that building relationships. But you also have to get to know the pieces because they can help you, but they can also hurt you in some sense. So it's a big learning process. But once students learn how the pieces move, they really love it because they like that challenge.
Now, one thing I think about, and I'll just sort of say it out loud, is the aspect of privilege or simply normalcy. I mean, the idea of having to pay somebody $50 to teach me a lesson of chess, all I think about is, gosh, my dad taught me how to play chess or my older brothers taught me how to play chess. But not everybody has a chess. And my mom didn't play, but I know some great moms who taught my playmates when I was growing up. Not everybody has chess in their life due to families or relatives. Everybody has different backgrounds. So I had the privilege of not having to pay anything, and I'm not sure my dad would have wanted to pay. In fact, I'm quite sure he would not have wanted to invest that kind of money in chess lessons. So you're really filling a gap, I suspect, because not everybody can learn from a family member or take private lessons, right?
Yeah, and I think one of the great things about chess, too, is that it's like a portable classroom. So it's a game that when people play, they're equals. And it's really about the mind and building the mind. And if really all a student needs is a chessboard, that we should be able to make that happen, and it shouldn't cost anything. Because if you really enjoy chess, you love teaching it, and you love spreading that joy around. But there is a big gap being filled, because when you think about areas like the Hill District or Wilkinsburg or Homewood, they used to be thriving chess areas. But as gentrification started to happen, just resources, they lost some of the beautiful chess sets they had there. So it's really rebuilding that idea and giving, chess sets to older chess players so that they can teach their kids. And it's really great to see that, to see those relationships build. But it also can be really sad too, because you see community members who haven't played in years, and it's not because they didn't want to, it's just because they didn't have the resources to.
This is Ashley Priori, and she's the founder of the nonprofit organization, the Queen's Gambit Chess Institute. And when were you introduced to chess?
Yeah, when I was four, my dad taught. Wow. My dad taught my siblings and I. Yeah, and it was great too, because when you're introduced at such a young age, really as you grow up and you learn, the game grows up with you. So, as your brain keeps learning different strategies and critical thinking, your chess game becomes even better.
Yeah, I think it helps train your mind to think in certain ways too. When you were a little kid, because I was playing little bit older than that. Did when you encountered a floor with square tiles, would you move on the ground with your feet the way a chess piece would move?
Yeah, that's so funny, because I think now that's one of the things that I teach students, is that to look around them and to see if pieces look like objects they see in everyday life. So obviously you have the knight and it looks like a horse. Someone said that the pawn looks like a water fountain.
Yeah.
And they had all these really cool ideas. And it is true, like when they see like checkered floors, they're like, oh, that's a chessboard.
Yeah, I'm going to move up to and over one or however they happen to do that. I did that. I still do that sometimes. If I'm in a meeting, I might kind of do that in front of me. So you're going into schools to do this. First of all, what's the age range for the schools that you visit? And I'm curious how you typically imbue these skills, how you do it.
Yeah, so one thing we love is innovative partnerships, because I think that chess is such a unique game, so the partnerships we make are really unique. So obviously we teach at a lot of schools and libraries and things, but really when we're talking with an organization, we always ask them, what can we do for you? Like, what's a goal that you have, and how can we build on that goal through chess? So when we start off, it's free chess programming, and we work with anywhere between pre-K through 12th grade. I'd say that the biggest age, though, is like between 3rd grade and 5th grade, because that's when they really start to get introduced to the game. So that's great. Once we teach them, really the basics. And I love getting to know the students, because once you get to know them, they're more comfortable talking with you about certain issues that they're facing. So it's really relationship building and mentoring. And then once they learn how the pieces move, once they get confident, then we kind of build in real world experiences. So, we talk about barriers. So if they see that one of their pieces is stuck, we talk about how can they get out of that. And then we try and relate it to a real world experience. So one student was talking about how they had a really bad grade in school and how they overcame that. So it's really starting off small with real world experiences, and then building it up to some of the larger issues like poverty or gentrification or different social justice issues.
Have you been able to witness transformations in students that you work with?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I really see students being able to grow. So there's students that we work with that during the school day, teachers and parents warn us that they are, really hyper and they're not focused and they're struggling at school. But when they work with a chessboard, they become so focused. And it's so great to see that. And I think that if chess is how they can express their intelligence and their abilities, that really school should work with them and be able to see that, you know, that's their transformation. It's through the game of chess.
Now, one thing, Ashley, I'm curious about is you go into a school setting, an after-school setting, and I would imagine you might encounter some students who are not as enthusiastic as others, right, about
yeah.
learning how to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it must really give you a lot of pleasure to convert somebody.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
they start by saying, what? I mean, I want to go play a game on a screen. You know, this is not Fortnite. Let me do something, you know, different. One of the things to me that's exciting about what you're doing is you're encouraging, you know, two actual real human beings to look at each other and do something together with a physical, you know, object. And kids aren't necessarily used to interacting like that when it's a game, unless it's sports. And even sometimes sports, it's like playing Madden or something. That's got to be exciting to see.
Yeah, I think it's really important in this day of age to have those, you know, interactions with someone that's right in front of you and learning how to speak to someone, not through a screen, but, you know, in person. And I think that it's really incredible when there's students that come up to me and they're like, oh, chess is boring. Or they're like, oh, yeah, it's really, really easy. I already know what I'm doing with it. But it's kind of like a slow process, because I really try and ask, oh, hey, what do you like? And a lot of times they're like, they know that I don't like checkers. So they're like, oh, yeah, I play checkers all the time. But I really try and build what they like to do within chess. And then they start to realize that chess is a really versatile game. There's a lot of different versions of chess. There's speed chess. There's bug house.
You know? I was just going to ask you about that, because I don't know chess well enough. But it occurred to me that there probably are some variations. Can you explain, like, what is speed chess?
Yeah, so speed chess is when you have a clock, but you set it to typically 5 minutes for each opponent, and you have to play really quickly. And for some people, they enjoy that because they like quick games. But if you're, like, a true, like, thinker and you spend a lot of time with each move, it can be challenging. I really enjoy speed chess because there's, like, this thrill of moving quickly. But some students don't like it because it's time restraints.
Mm-hmm. And what's the other one you mentioned?
So bug house. So there's a couple different versions. Bug house, typically you play with a lot of different people, and you have two chess boards and you like trade off pieces. It's a really confusing type of game. And I only introduce it to students once they feel comfortable with like the traditional type of chess game, because then when they see bug house, they're like, oh, I really don't like that. I like the traditional way, so it's kind of a tool I use. But there's also some other strange versions, like suicide chess, where you try and just get rid of all of your pieces, and that's how you win. So
bizarre. Yeah. So you kind of have to force your opponent to take a piece.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, because they don't want to take your pieces, because
right.
that helps you win. So. Oh, that's fascinating.
I know. Some people really enjoy that more than the normal game.
Not that I think I'd necessarily enjoy it more than regular chess, but I'm just trying to think of the things you need to do to make the only move one that somebody could take a piece. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really fun, too, to do, like, after we have our tournaments at the end of a session, because when kids, like, you know, we have, like, an award ceremony and things like that, and then they can kind of be free with how they want to interpret chess. So some of them like to just, you know, continue to do like a normal game, and some of them like to do suicide chess because they feel really free just giving away their pieces and not having me, you know, try and work through the problem with them. They really enjoy those types of games.
I can remember there was a game that was kind of the anti-Monopoly. It was called Go for Broke, and the idea was to lose as much money
as
you possibly could. That game might still be around, too. Ashley Priori is here. She's founder of the Queen's Gambit Chess Institute. Are there any programs coming up or anything that people should know about how to get involved. Now, we have listeners not just in the Pittsburgh area, but in other parts of the state and country. So I guess I have two questions is whether you have any programs locally coming up where people can learn more about what you do, and then if there are other resources for people beyond the area.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're really proud to serve Allegheny County and really try and get into the surrounding areas of Pittsburgh because they really do want to learn chess. And we always have classes and clubs, but I think two major events that we have are a great way for people to get involved. So there's Chess Week in Pittsburgh, which is was a proclamation by former council member Dan Gilman, and he made it October 1st through 8th. Chess Week in Pittsburgh. And then last year, County Council member Tom Baker made it Chess Week in Allegheny County. So, but it's funny because it's the first week is Chess Week in Pittsburgh and the second week of October is Allegheny County. So those 2 weeks are like just so much chess happening. And then on June 1st, which is coming up, we're having the Pittsburgh Chess Conference. So the difference between Chess Week and the conference is that Chess Week's really for students to play and have a lot of competitions. The Chess Conference is to engage organizations and community members who might not feel really empowered by the game yet, or they're interested in chess but they haven't learned it, and for them to engage in chess and see what we're talking about when we say economic, social, political change. And that's June 1st. And we're going to have more details on that soon. Actually, at the end of March, we're going to, release the location. We're going to release some of the speakers that we're having. So all of that information we have on our website, which is also where we have different resources for learning how to play chess if you're a beginner, or good sites that have online chess. Online chess is a really debated topic right now, but I think there are some really good resources that have online chess. And yeah, I mean, we're always happy to help too. I love meeting people who are excited about chess, so we always love to have them come.
What's the website location?
Yeah, so it's an interesting URL. So it's www.tqg.chessinstitute. And the reason it was that is because the Queen's Gambit, we wanted to make sure that that's separate from Chess Institute, because when you think of Queen's Gambit, we really like to have that idea of an organization that promotes social change. And then Chess Institute is a part of that, which is, all of the chess work we do.
I see. So it's TQE. TG.
TQG.
TQG. What does that stand for?
The Queen's Gambit.
Oh, of course. TQG, the Queen's Gambit. How could I not get that?
Oh, no, you're good. It's such a confusing URL.
Dot chessinstitute.com.
So just Chess Institute.
Oh, dot Chess Institute. Well, that's easy. Wait a minute. The Queen's Gambit. TQG. Mm-hmm. Dot Chess Institute.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. So there you can go and learn more about opportunities to introduce chess to members of your family or to yourself, and to take part in these activities, including the June conference and the first half of October that is designated as official Chess Weeks, yeah. In the city of Pittsburgh and in Allegheny County. It's got to be really exciting for you to see this growth. Are there people in other cities that want to emulate what you've done? I would imagine there are.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's always been a lot of chess organizations that are focused on getting the game out there. But we were unique in that we see it as a vehicle to impact a city, which is how we see chess continuing to be sustainable for the future. So there are a lot of other chess clubs that have reached out to us and asked, to collaborate. But I think that we're starting to see a movement of chess into the future where it's not just going to be a game that people use to compete, but a game that people use to, build relationships and things like that.
Yeah, that's I was thinking about that when we first started talking is I was going to comment that chess is collaborative. Well, kind of. I mean, you need a person to collaborate with to get a game going, but at the end of the day, you're really working across purposes. But it is collaborative in that it helps you build a relationship with another person in a way that might not happen if you were playing a video game or playing an online game or simply doing something passive like watching a movie together or
right.
a video. It requires you to think and to talk and interact, to laugh, to be frustrated, a lot of emotions that you can have together
exactly.
As you do it. And it's exciting. I'm going to try to get the website one more time. It's TQG, as in the Queen's Gambit, .chessinstitute.
Exactly.
That's how you can find more information from Ashley. Is there anything else you'd like to set forth about what it is that you're doing? We have about a minute or two left.
Yeah, I would just say that I think what's really exciting right now is that for the first time, people are seeing chess not as a game in the end where you win. Of course, that's fun when you win, but it's about the journey of it. So it's what happens during the process of the game, and how does that type of thinking impact our relationships and our community. So I always like to say it's not about like the end product. It's about what's happening in the middle, and that's how it's different than other games. Because some people come up to me and say, can't you do this with like football or, checkers? And I think but a lot of those games aren't about the middle part of the game. They're about winning, and they're about, how you get on to the next round and things like that. Chess is really about, you could spend hours analyzing a game because there's so many different possibilities.
That's a really good way of putting it. I had one more question for you that's kind of out of left field. But I know New York and some other cities have a lot of street chess.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's people hustling to beat other people. But does street chess happen anywhere in the city that you know of?
Yeah, so we're actually trying to rebuild that. So Market Square used to have chess sets that they had up all year around. And now it's kind of, we just kind of set it up for certain events. But we really are trying to rebuild street chess in areas that haven't had chess. So like the Hill District, we really are starting that movement, but we're working first with community members to ask like, where are good places to have it? How would you want it to be seen? Because I think if the community takes ownership of it, that's how it's going to be really loved and appreciated, rather than, someone just coming in and like putting a chess set down. Even though that might seem fun for like me or someone like that, I think it's the community members that have to really know where they want it and how they're going to use it.
Now you want people to own it. And we have some tables right in front of the Children's Museum.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen them, but the boards are there, but I think I can count on one hand the number of times I've seen people. They would have to bring their own chess pieces to play, but they would be great to activate in this way, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe I'll put a bug in somebody's ear, or maybe I just put a bug in my ear to do it. They're out in a public space.
Yeah.
Ashley, thank you, and congratulations on what you've done. Here's somebody. It's kind of neat, anybody at any age should be proud of the work that you've done at any age. But to have had an idea, started a nonprofit, and be making differences in people's lives starting at the age of 16, I think, 17?
14.
14, wow. It's been 5 years for you. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well done. And you can go to the Queen's Gambit Chess Institute site at tqg.chessinstitute. And I can guarantee you that if you need some support, Ashley will be happy to give it to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Keep in touch.
I will. Thank you.